The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Amen. For me, tonight is just a welcome charge that I want to give to us by the grace of God, not necessarily preaching, because this platform is a raised platform and a high one. So I'd like to just charge our hearts to make us ready for this meeting. Now, we say life campaign, but you see, the Bible says in Psalm 68, God gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. There is a need for the publication of the word of God. Somewhere in Philemon 1:5, Paul said that the communication of your faith might be effective through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in Christ Jesus. Now, our faith cannot be effective if it is not properly communicated to us. It will never be effective. So you will see the apostles, they labored so much in the place of communicating the faith, of writing the epistles, of laying down the principles of the kingdom of God. So it is not out of place to take time to spell out this campaign. Amen. Let's just go on and see what we call campaign. Most of the time, it is usually restricted to the political terrain. And it is not wrong, because that is what happens in the political terrain. There are campaigns, not necessarily the type we have in Nigeria. That is not a proper campaign, but something like that happens in the political scene. Hallelujah. So it's a time, a particular time of making known to those who are referred to as the electorates. The people who are seeking political office, they will take time to make known to the electorate their manifesto. So you have a man who aspires to an office, he comes with a manifesto. A manifesto is a document that he holds to present to the people that contains his mission, his vision, what he seeks to do. So when you say campaign, you look at it from that perspective. Amen? Also, when you say campaign, it talks about a series of action or principle that is tending towards a particular end. A series of actions or principle tending towards a particular end. And the scripture that readily comes to mind is Jeremiah 29:11. You know that scripture already. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end." Now, that it made it clear to us, unlike we have used that scripture, that it is God who knows the thoughts He has towards us. It is not us. So most times we pray, we use that scripture. "Lord, you said, for I know the thoughts I think towards you." And as you are praying that, you are superimposing your thoughts into that prayer. You are not actually saying, "What is your thought for me?" But you are put, as you are praying that prayer, because you already have an expected end. You are not actually waiting for God's expected end. So what God declared in that verse is a campaign, because He has some series of action and a principle that is leading towards a particular end. Can you say particular? Particular. It is specific. He has an end. God has an end in mind. He knows it already. He has finished it. He's the one who finishes something, then he starts it. So he is working towards the answer. He's not just trying to work and say, whatever answer we get is the answer. No, he already found out the answer. He's now working towards the answer. And he expects us as the church to understand what he is doing and how he hopes to achieve that particular end. Amen. And most interesting of all is the one that Daddy likes to dwell on. Campaign is a military term. Can you say military? It refers to a series of operations. Can you say operation? That is aimed at achieving a goal. So when Russia, about a year ago, invaded Ukraine, they called it a military operation. It was actually a military campaign. And they situated it within a particular region. So campaign in the military term is not what is spread all across anyhow. It is targeted towards a particular end within a location. So now when you bring all this together into, when we say life campaign, you can say that God is speaking to his church as the electorate, actually the called out ones, the members of the parliament, those whom he had redeemed by his blood. He is wanting to discuss with them his plans and strategies. So he's got a manifesto. God has a manifesto. And that manifesto, he seeks to communicate it to his people so that they can be one with him and that they can travel together to that end that is already designed out, that is already mapped out. So when you say you are campaigning, it means you are getting involved in a series of action that is leading towards a particular end. Amen. And most importantly, it is not just a series of action reaching towards an end or within a space. It is also time-based. Can you say time-based? So we don't have all the time. We don't have all the time. And that angel in Revelation 10 swore by he who lives on the throne and said, there shall be time no longer. And the preacher said to us in Ecclesiastes, to everything under the heaven, to every purpose, there is a time. So it is not forever. It must be done within a space of time. May I announce to you that it has pleased God to say it is now. It is now that I will unleash fully all that I've stored in my mind concerning my church, whom I'm redeemed with my blood. Amen. Now, another word for God's manifesto is the eternal purpose. Can you say the eternal purpose? So when you see people make a budget, they will say budget of hope, budget of consolidation. For God, his manifesto is tagged the eternal purpose. Let's say the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Just follow me. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Now when you look at this language, they are a carefully chosen language. They are not language that is thrown to just anyone. These people are a peculiar people. They are being addressed specifically. They are those who have given their lives to Jesus, who have left the world. They have crossed the Red Sea. They are on their way to the land and to inherit the promise that is in the land. Not just anybody. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers. You're not a stranger. You're not a foreigner. It's not addressing stranger or foreigners. It's addressing fellow citizens with the saints. Those who are referred to as the household of God, who have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now you will remember the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. The church is founded on this tripod stand of the apostles, of the prophets, and Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. You need to know that. You need to understand that. And you need to begin to relate with that. Hallelujah. And what happened under that tripod stand? Verse 21. And in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together. So you are there. You have been penciled down for a building. You are a project meant to be completed. You are not a project that is meant to be abandoned. No, you are not an abandoned project. You are a project in progress and that is going to be completed. Now, you need to know that.
If you do not know that, you live your life anyhow. Hallelujah. And then in chapter 3, he now began, for this cause, for which cause? For this reason, for which you have been brought into this platform. For this reason that you have been built upon Christ as the chief cornerstone, with the bullhorn strategy of the apostles and the prophets, for that reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace which is given to me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Can you say the mystery? Now, we need to understand our language. We need to understand our document. Otherwise, we will be at sea. When God is saying something, we will be saying something else. So when you hear the word mystery in the scripture, it doesn't mean what is esoteric, what cannot be known. It is not an occultic mystery. Mystery in the Bible refers to what God has hidden. He hid it. And then at the time of the end, he will unveil it. Now, it is the glory of the king to conceal a matter. If God had made it cheap, everyone, every Tom, Dick, and Harry will have just jumped into it. They will have taken it, and they will not be able to go through the process to understand it. But God made it a mystery. So he made Paul a custodian of that mystery, that he should open the eyes of the church to the mystery. So Paul was talking about that. If you move down to verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach. Now that's communication. That is publication. Now the manifesto is not what you can carry and understand. You cannot understand. If you take the manifesto, at best you will be like the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading Isaiah. And then Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? What was his answer? How can I understand except someone shows me? I tell you, my brethren, we cannot understand this except God shows us. But thanks be unto God. He has raised his apostles. He has raised his prophets. He has raised his teachers to preach and to publish this mystery for us to understand and know God's intention, even for humanity, most importantly for his church. Amen. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus. Can you see that now? So that is the eternal purpose of God, which he proposed in Christ Jesus before the world was created, before you were born again, before the earth was made. He said in Psalm 90, O Lord, our God, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were ever brought forth, you have been God. And that is the time he has hatched this in the fellowship of the Trinity, that he will make known his mind. He will make it known unto his children, unto his people. It was for that reason Jesus came to die. It was for that reason all the prophets were sent. It was for that reason that the mighty gulf that sin and death had caused between God and man, it was for that reason it was breached in Jesus. It wasn't breached so that you can eat breakfast. It's a serious matter. It's a serious agenda. Sometimes when we look at the television and we see our legislators sleeping in the hallowed chamber, how do you feel? You feel that they are there to deliberate on matters of national interest. Serious matter. So when you see them sleeping, you are not happy. So in the heart of God as well, this agenda, this manifesto, this campaign that is targeted towards an end is a serious matter. It's not a child's play. Hallelujah. So he has given so much into it. The highest of it was when he showed his love to ensure that this thing is known to the church by causing Jesus, his own son, to die on the cross. And by sealing this manifesto with the blood of his son, by binding himself,
by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. God would have actually reneged on this promise. If he had looked at us, we saw the pattern like we were taught yesterday in Israelite. A time came, God got fed up and said, Moses, let me destroy them. I will start again. I can always start again. You are the one in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry. I can start again and again. But Moses said, no, you won't start again. What will they say? So for God not to even have any reason to think otherwise, he bound himself with the blood of his son. That what I have said that I will do it. What is the ultimate of that agenda? It's simple, that humanity will put on divinity. And for God to do that, because there is nothing God says to you to do that he himself has not first done. And that's why the Bible says his commandments are not grievous. Many times when we are given commandments, when we hear God, we complain, it's too much. Or when we go through some processes in the assembly, in the church, we feel it's too much. We pray, we feel, let's just pray. We come to church, we just feel that word of God is too much. And that's your church. They take time too much. You just sit down and talk. What are they talking? No, they are talking something. They are talking serious matter. So if God had looked at our attitude, he would have long reneged on his promise. But he bound himself that irrespective of what happened, the only thing is that a people may decide not to be part of it, but another people, a people, are you part of the people? A people will surely inherit this promise. And then to further demonstrate it, he said, if I want humanity to be part of divinity, do I even understand what it takes to be humanity? Even though I created them, then let me first become human. Let me trade my place for their place. So divinity relegated itself, as it were, and put on flesh. And God came in the likeness of sinful flesh for to condemn sin. Actually, it was a wisdom. It was a wisdom. A Trojan horse wisdom, meaning go inside them to destroy them. Because sin thought God cannot come thus far. He said, shall he visit the land of forgetfulness? But he went there. Jesus embodied the worst that humanity can become. In fact, no man had ever gone through what Jesus went through as a man. He asks us a question in Hebrews 13:4. In all your strivings, in all the congregation, have you resisted unto blood? But he resisted the enemy, even unto blood. It was a divine wisdom. So God put on humanity so that ultimately humanity can put on divinity. That is the long and short of that agenda. But there are lots of processes involved that we need to understand. Amen. And you know the enemy, he will not keep quiet. So what did Satan do? Satan went ahead. He misinterpreted the agenda. He wanted to stop the agenda. That it will not even come in the first place. He wanted to kill Jesus. You know many attempts that were made on Jesus' life before he was born? While he was born, while he was a baby. They even had to run with him at a time. But when he saw he couldn't succeed, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord, he said, okay, let's take the manifesto and turn it around and twist it like Daniel chapter 1. You know what the king did? He said, give them to eat of the portion of the meat of the king, that after 3 years they might stand before the king. Actually, we are meant to stand before the king. But we can't just come before the king like that. Pastor Abed taught us long ago about the preparation of Esther. 1 year preparation. Just to appear before a mortal king for one night. They had to prepare the woman for 1 year. If you are the one, you will say, it's okay, I'm okay like that. Let me just marry and go, I'm okay. No, he was not in a hurry. He had a standard. The standard must be met. And that's why God will not bend his standard. Whether the whole church chooses not to understand it, it will still not bend his standard. If people will understand it. And I'm glad we are the people. I said, you are the people. So Satan went ahead and misinterpreted this agenda and told the church, don't you think that it is all about you? Actually, you are meant to do well. And you see these things you have seen, they are meant to be yours. So when you go to God, you need to serve God. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible so that you can prosper in your life. So that you can stand with your mates. And I will ask questions. Who are the mates? Where are the mates? I read in Zechariah that this man was standing with some fellows. Those should be your mates. Not human being, because actually Satan places another thing in front of us to take us away from the real thing. Long and short,
The church now majors in the minor. And then the minor in the major. Have you heard people pray that at the end, may we inherit God's kingdom? It is for that kingdom we were born. Jesus said, to this end and for this purpose came I. Meaning you are not meant to do other things than the kingdom. Your life is meant to be built around the kingdom, not the kingdom around your life. So we see today in church, people use Jesus to validate themselves. To validate themselves in terms of their health, in terms of their finances, in terms of their jobs, in terms of their earthly prosperity. Are those things wrong? They are not wrong. God made man, he put him in the earth. He made him the Lord of the earth to use the earth, not to worship the earth. Not to build his house, not to build his vision, his empire in the earth. Don't forget, it's a campaign. It's a campaign. And the enemy is resisting. So today you see in the body of Christ, people are not ready to hear the word of salvation. People are not ready to hear Christ. People assume that you already know Christ. You see an unbeliever tell you, and you call yourself a Christian. And my question is, who is a Christian? You just like, if you're not married, you can't know the experience of marriage until you are married. Except you are drinking stolen waters or eating stolen bread. So when has an unbeliever come to know who a Christian should be? And then they say to you, and you call yourself a Christian. Is that how a Christian should behave? Ask them, how should a Christian behave? Because it will take a Christian to know how a Christian should behave. And you get intimidated. It's true. It's true. No, that is Satan coming to assault you from the religious crown. So the enemy went ahead and did evil work. And it becomes impossible, as it were, for God to reach out to his people. But don't forget, he raised prophets. He raised apostles. He raised teachers who will make things known. Most times, you don't do the things that you are supposed to do. Why? You don't understand them. You don't know them. They are not in your consciousness. They are not in your awareness. Have you realized when somebody paints a picture? Who was saying it the other day? Pastor Alfred was telling us. They tell you, don't eat chocolate. Don't eat sugar. Don't eat honey burger or whatever you call it. You said these people, they don't understand. So when you travel, or when you have chance to do something, you go there, you stuff your belly with all those sweet sugar and those sweet biscuits. High calorie, you eat it and you close your eyes. And dopamine sends a message to your brain. And you feel good. But after a time comes, you eat it, you sleep, you want to wake up, you can't stand. Your back is bent. You say, what is happening? And you go to the doctor and say, there is loads of sugar in your system. And in 6 months, if you continue that, you might likely die, sir. What happens to you? What happens to you? You see chocolate, you say, oh, wickedness, you I deny. But the same thing you embrace, the same thing you embrace it because of ignorance. But now that you know the evil of it, no matter how beautifully painted it is, you don't touch it. You don't touch it. You don't touch it. No matter how well they advertise alcohol, you know you can't even drink it. You can't touch it. He said, this is beer, the ultimate, the honorable. You know, it doesn't make men honorable. It makes men dishonorable. But they will not show you. You see a man in tie, a clean-shaven man, drinking beer, a cup, drank it, and then he begins to write. You know that is a lie. You know that is a lie. You know those who drink beer and who master beer. When the red thing in beer stings them, you know they go to their house in the gutter. Even the book of Proverbs describes them. But you see, they paint it to you. You say, wow, I want to be honorable. Strong men drink beer. You say, no, when understanding, you know that it is weak men. It is foolish men. It is ignorant men who do things that will damage their body, that will damage their liver. What am I saying in essence? When understanding visits you, what happens? Light comes. You now know what God is said to do to us in these 7 days is to flood us with light. That our eyes will be opened. We'll begin to see that we have been playing church.
We have not been doing what we are to do. We have now realized that actually we are enlisted to be made a member of the army of the living God. We now realize we are not close. We will now begin to reorder our lives and adjust ourselves so that we can be properly enlisted in the armies of the living God. Because a warfare is coming upon the earth. And like that is said, woe unto those who don't have access to the light. The darkness will take them over. It's not about your education. It's not about how much you can speak English. No, it will take you over. Because the power to resist darkness is not in grammar. It's in the spirit. It's in the soul. It is in what you have become when you have been made an access. Like Pastor Dixon said, you don't try to open the door. You are the key. When you get to the door opens. Because something has been walked into you. That is what God wants to do. Amen. So the church can't go anywhere if she does not get wind from the milk. If we don't leave the realm we are, we can't be enlisted as part of this army. If we don't stop drinking milk and staying at the bread and looking at the natural and looking down and just looking down like the Israelites, they said, please, we want flesh pot. God wants to give us spirit pot. You know that hidden pot? It's a hidden manna. There is a pot. A golden pot. What is inside is called hidden manna. That should be what we should test for. Not the fleshly pots of Egypt. Amen. And so, to even begin to show us what he wants to do, God needs to do first thing. Foundational work. Isaiah 28:9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Meaning that God wants to teach knowledge. God wants us to understand doctrine. Can you say doctrine? Doctrine simply means teaching. It means that we can't understand that manifesto if we are not taught. He said, your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. You can't have peace in the spiritual, in the natural, if you are not taught. The answer to peace is not living by the lake. It's not living by the ocean view. The answer to peace is being taught doctrine. Go and buy a house in Hawaii, Honolulu, by the beach side. Or you go to Madagascar or Seychelles or any holiday resort in the world. Live there. There will be war inside you. Let the wind of the sea blow upon you. It's just external. There will be war going on. The only thing, the only answer to that storm within is peace. No wonder he said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. How can a man be sane in this Nigeria of today? No currency, no fuel. Where we wake up to ask ourselves, which queue is yours this week? Is it fuel queue? Is it Naira queue? Is it PVC queue? Everything is queue. Somebody was talking on the social media. He began to rain curses and he said to them, if you don't broadcast this thing and I've said it, God will cut your life. If you cut anything from what I've said now, if you don't show it to Nigerians where I'm saying it. But yet you see a people. And they wonder, do you live with us in this planet? Many people have become so mad. Not picking paper on the road, but they have lost their mind. Because the situation has shaken them up. They have given up. They don't have answer. They tried to use bold face. They went to the bank. They broke the ATM. They broke the fence. They fought. At the end of the day, they came back home. In midnight, they woke up. They start crying like babies. And they said, forget it. They took their car. They broke it. It's a sign of hopelessness. But that's not who we are. We have a hope. We have a hope that transcends this world. So he said in that Philippians, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Somebody said, the peace of God that doesn't make sense to human being. How can your face be shining in this economy? How can you be at peace? You wake up, even though you know you don't have cash, but you know you have cash. You know your thing needs are being met. It's not a natural economy. Something is at work. It's called the peace of God. He said it will guide your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And then he said in another place, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. You see, that God of peace that will crush Satan must publish peace. Must publish peace. The publication of peace is the declaration of the manifesto of God, which is called the eternal purpose. The moment you give yourself to seek out God, what is your intention for man? Why am I saved? Am I just saved to do this, to do that? Why? The moment you begin to do, your peace has come. Your peace has come. And you must make it a duty to pursue this peace. It's like seek peace and pursue it. Hallelujah. Amen. So God needs to teach us knowledge, number one. And then we need to understand doctrine. He said, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, nile upon line, here a little, there a little. You can't complain when you are in church. It is not enough if 3 hours is spent to teach you God's word on a Sunday, you come back on a Monday, the same 3 hours, till the next Sunday. It's not even enough. Because what God has in mind is so much, your mind can't comprehend it. Hallelujah. But Satan will tell you, what they are talking too much. They have not addressed your need. When will they start praying for eyes to open? When will they start praying for miracle? Uh-huh. And then when they begin to raise some prayer, you come alive. You come alive. Oh God, arise, arise. And every enemy that says I will not make progress, fall and die. What are you waiting for? For that and all of that. And if God will be merciful unto you, he will not answer that prayer. Because should God answer that prayer, you are the first person that will die. What is progress? What do you call progress? I was asking the people, I said, everybody says, I want to make it. Don't you want to make it? If you say, do you want to make it? I will ask, which it are you meaning that I should make? Because there are many its. I want to make it. You will make it. Ah, don't quickly say amen. You know, I used to tell my mother, the radio will be playing. And one man of God will come. It will just stop everyone hearing my voice this afternoon, wherever you are. You will not lose your children. And my mother will shout, amen. As I'm saying to you, that woman, that man, that... who does... After man or woman? What next? Is it that man, that young girl? Of course there are young girls. That man driving in your... As you are driving, giving that woman change, if you go through Nigeria, 45 million people will be giving change at that time. And then they say those things, and my mother will shout, amen, amen. And I said, don't be saying him. Do you know who he's talking? You don't know who he's talking. I said, one day I will break this radio. Because you can't just stand up. Whoever will speak to your life must be somebody that is coming with the message of the true God. Because they are false gods. So you can't cajole me by first of all spraying those Yoruba African priestly prayer. You know, that is our culture. And we naturally respond to it. Just like if I take talking drum and I begin to sing your praise and I call you your name. It's not that name you bear. I call you Agutashonlo. Igijegede Omola. You will not know where your hand will leave where you put it. We go to that pocket and bring out the 500 naira. You begin to spray me. I was in a place one day in an event. A believer, a brother, who was sitting there together. And these drummers came. And they began to say, that's nothing. And those people, they will not go easily. They stayed with him. The more he said there's no money, the more they will press the drum. The more they will do the thing. At the time, the brother stood up. I said, anyway, let me just find you something. As he was finding something, the legs were already moving. Before you know it, he just threw caution to the wind. He just jumped. He began. I was videoing him. He began. He continued. They appealed to something in him. So the enemy knows us well. He knows what he can appeal to. He knows you are desperate about who to marry. So he appeals to that emotion in you. He touches it and you respond. And you think you are spiritual. No, it's simply emotional. It's what the devil is touching in you. But God is coming to open eyes and to shed light. To make us see that, no, this is not where we should be. There are important matters. There are weightier matters of the Lord. Jesus said it, Matthew 23:23. This you should have done. Justice, faith. These are weightier matters of the Lord. It means there are matters of the Lord that carries weight. But some are weightier. They are weightier. So he said, this you should have done without leaving the others undone. It doesn't mean that we can't do others. But there are weightier matters of the Lord. And so for this reason, God raised the man called Paul. And then Paul, he went to Ephesian church. That he has taught us about the 7 churches in Revelation. And Pastor Dizzy was connecting them with the 7 churches of the epistles. He got to the Ephesian church. He saw something different. That this church was not like the other churches he had been. In fact, he studied them. He never saw where they were praying that God should kill the enemy. He saw them, all their prayers was they want to love the Lord. They want to love the saint.
They want to understand the faith. He said, what kind of a church is this? Then he began to pray for them in Ephesians 1:15 that their eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Let me tell you, the enlightenment of the eyes of our understanding is not automatic. If we don't understand faith towards God, love towards the saint, we can't even begin to come into that realm. So as born again believers, why are you born again? You are born again to understand God, to understand his agenda, and then to let that agenda begin to control you, that in relating with one another, we see the life of God flowing forth. It's called love towards the saint. When God cites that, it's a criterion for you to now come into a place where they can open the eyes of your understanding, which is the real thing. So when Paul got to that church, he saw that this was a different church, because he was just coming from a church, Corinthian church, where he had a serious challenge communicating the mystery to them. You know, Corinthian church is just the perfect example of the church of today. He said, I can't speak unto you as spiritual, meaning that the way we are meant to be spoken to is spiritual. Spiritual. To be spiritual is not being religious. It's not being spooky. It's spiritual. That which pertains to God. We need to come up and begin to understand them. So he began to pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That means you have an eye. It is called the eyes of understanding, but it's not yet enlightened. So Paul began to pray, and that is the labor of God's servants. And in this week, as they labor to preach, don't say, why are they taking time to preach? No, they are doing a work. They are opening their eyes. Now, that eyes is not, let your eyes be open. Even Jesus said it. Luke 4:18. It talks about recovering of sight. Sight is not recovered in one day. Even Jesus demonstrated it. He laid hands on one man. He said, see, the man saw men as trees. Men are not like trees. Men are men. But the man saw men as trees. Like we see God in different ways today. We interpret church to mean a place, a service center, MTN service center, where you go and they recharge your card. Have you gone to any of these big companies' office and they abuse you before? Even if you abuse them, say, God, if you abuse their father, they will smile at you. Oh, we are sorry, sir. Oh, we are very sorry, sir. Oh, sorry, sir. We will address it. Oh, what's the issue? Because they are trained to do that. They will never come and debase you. They will listen to you. They will listen to you. Now, he said, the eyes of your understanding. You have an eye. You have an eye. It is called the eye of understanding, but it is not automatically enlightened. If you're not spoken to, the scale will not fall off. Jesus had to repeat that experience the second time. He lay hands. The man began to see well. It means that it's not a one-time thing. There must be continual administration of the teaching of the doctrine of Christ. God had to repeat that experience. And that is why we come day after day, time after time, month after month, year after year. You know, as you are coming, you are changing. It is not even in what you have heard. That coming from your house to the church, sitting down, submitting to the process, is doing something to you. After a while, flesh will be dead to it. You can now hear. One day, a seed will drop in your heart. All God needs is a seed. Because a seed will account for a generation. You see, these armies of God, who started it? Just a seed. Just a seed. A seed that grew out of a dry ground. Today became the armies of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we are not meant to look at the acts of God alone. We are meant to look at his ways. Remember, he's walking towards an end. He has a way, even though he has acts. But you see, we like the acts, we don't want the way. And without the way, we can't arrive at him. We can't arrive at life. If you read Colossians 2:2, a lot of people are having problem with that scripture. But I'm glad nobody here wrote that. It was Paul who wrote it by revelation. He said, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Can you say God? And of the Father. Can you say the Father?
and of Christ. Can you say Christ? And somebody will tell you that, why are you saying there's a mystery of Christ, there's a mystery of God, there's a mystery of the Father? Am I the one who wrote it? But it's there. It's there. And to make you know that these things are distinct entity, he didn't just say mystery of God, the Father, and Christ. He said the mystery of God, comma, he knows what he wants to say. And in addition to this, and of the Father, he put another comma. Normally, when you are listing things, when you get to the penultimate item, second to the last, you don't put a comma. So when you put a comma, it's a deliberate thing. You are making a statement. You are foregrounding it. Don't think that I don't know the rule of English. I know what I'm saying. The mystery of God, comma, and of the Father, comma, and of Christ. It shows you there are three distinct mysteries. You see, if you don't understand this, you are not going to understand the manifesto. And someone tell you, what is all this? Will this put food on my table? Will this put food on my table? Those who don't know this, they have food on their table. So if you need to know this to have food on the table, what's the essence of this? It's not necessary. That's what gives food on the table. He said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, the blessing is not riches. But that blessing, it maketh rich. He said somewhere in Deuteronomy, God gives you the power to get wealth. Is the power of God equal to wealth? But that power can get wealth. But that's not what it's meant to. But it can get wealth. And it will get wealth. But we should not begin to say the essence of the power of God is to get you wealth. So now, when you come here and you can paste a picture of our daddy on your gas cylinder, and then you use the gas for the next 6 months, that is the power of God. Do you realize that in those days, when you make a call like me, you will say, hello, Pastor Alfred. Pastor Alfred, hello. Is there? Good morning, man. Pastor Alfred, are you here? Are you there? Okay, sir. Are you in town? I will see you tomorrow. Thank you. Okay, bye. Sir. Why? They were charging 15 naira per second. And you have only 100 naira. And you can't afford any irrelevancies. You go, you become like telex. You know those days you used to send telex? Daddy dead, come home. Because per word, per letter, is 200 naira. So you want to say, your father got so sick. He was now taken to the hospital. You don't have time for that. Count 200 naira per word. You'll be paying like 10,000. So you have to economy of word. Daddy dead, come home. 4 words. So who will not understand daddy dead, come home? But later, they began to give us extra cool. You remember extra cool? They deprive us of sleep. You will not wake up and they make sure it starts 12 midnight till 4 a.m. And then all the talk you can't talk. You will now talk. You talk. After a while, competition came in. The thing became decentralized. Now, you don't even know. You just call. You just call. How many data have you loaded this year? Don't say it. Don't even bother. I know you are not giving that much offering. Don't worry about it. Do you know we do some things because of the state we are in? That's what I'm saying. It's because you don't have money to buy the credit. Now you now go to a point where you check your phone, 20 people have sent you credit. You see your phone, 7,000 credit. When did they enter? And there's no way you can trace who sent it. You just start calling, even the people you don't want to call. Hello? Hello, who is that? Who am I on to? You don't know my voice again. Oh, yeah, I guess. But in those days, whether he knows your voice or not, you just said the message. You believe he has said it. He just heard it. God help him. It is our state that makes us behave the way we are. The day we change estate, we will change behavior. I want to tell you, don't be afraid to change estate. You think that if you don't have that thing, then the world will come to an end. No.
Tanina no siavalia kahana totomenia varanata. Helino no toto to velelelian toha. Forata, 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 forata. Forata, it is time for you to change your estate. It is time for you to change estate. It is time for you to change estate. And this is the reason why the voice of the living God is come unto you. For this is the only hope of change. This is the only hope of change. Even to upgrade you. Even to upgrade you. For majority will be helped even in this meeting. Majority will be helped even in this meeting. Even you, even you, even you, even you, to come to the estate where you can understand who you truly are, who you truly are. For many have lost identity and many are yet to find it. But on this mountain, you will find your true identity. You will find your true identity because the voice of the living God is come even to awaken you. The voice of the living God is come to give you understanding, even to give you light, even to give you light, so that you can be the you even in the heart of God. So that you can be the you even in the heart of him who has called you even to live.
May we be who we are meant to be in the heart of God. Amen. Hebrews 2:1. Now, I want us to understand something. God says somewhere in Matthew that if you, being evil, you know how to give good things, how much more your heavenly Father? So God is not a wicked God. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget. So don't say they are preaching poverty. No. Do you smell poverty here? I'm sure even if poverty enters this place, you run back. You say, no, the light are too many here. They will see me quickly. The lights are too much. It's not even spiritual. So we are not trying to say that maybe God wants us to live a drab life. God wants us to live a life that is not okay. Anyway, what is okay still depends on your definition of okay. It's just two letters, okay. But it means so much, so much. Are you okay? Shewa, okay. Now, daddy will ask you, Shewa, okay. And when daddy asks you, Shewa, okay, it means that are you whole? Are you whole? Because daddy can pick something. Sometimes, Fiji, Shewa, okay. You can't lie. Well, daddy, me, wa okay. Or daddy, me, wa okay. And that's why they give us Reverend K. So that Kalima, wa okay. They put it in song by our sister Judy K, who sang K People God. You know that song? You cannot lie, you cannot feel what you say. He doesn't say so. He can never. In your mind, you're looking at that sister. Ah, you cannot lie, God, I will marry. But in God's heart, I can't lie. He promise of eternal life, you will inherit it. So when you sing K People God, ah, my God is capable. You know, you are putting it in rhyme. Claimable, famable, and you are doing it. What is in the mind of God is that, yes, I'm capable. I can save you to the uttermost. In your mind, it is wife or husband or promotion or traveling abroad. You're looking at. Don't worry. He will not say no. He will bring all those things, but he will tell you much more. Because the language of the New Testament is much more. Much more. Better. You will not see best. They will say better. Better things that accompany better promises. You will see Hebrews full of better, much more, much more. Meaning that beyond what you can think, God can do much more. And the much more is not that he will now turn the thousand to millions. So the much more is that as he has given the natural, he will give you the spiritual. That's what he's saying. So Hebrews 2:1 made it clear. Let's read it together and see so that we'll not have any contest in our heart. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Meaning we have to take them seriously, lest at any time we should let them sleep, because they can easily sleep. For if the word, if what? The word. So the emphasis on the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So what is so great salvation? The word, which even the angels spoke, is the so great salvation. Now, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. So what was the emphasis? So great salvation, which is the word, which is the manifesto, which is the agenda, which is the battle cry. So great salvation. The first person to speak it was the Lord himself. Secondly, and was confirmed to us. What was confirmed? It is the so great salvation. It is the word that was confirmed by them that had him. God also. Can you say also? Give me another word for also. In addition.
Is it the main thing? Is it the main thing? He said, also, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gift of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. It's a long question. Meaning that the focus is the word, and that word is called so great salvation. But God bore them witness by the gifts of the Holy Ghost, by diverse miracles, by wonders. So God is not the God of wonders. God is the God of so great salvation. If you must look at that scripture, for you to say God is the God of wonders, he is the God of something first. Even that was what he himself began to speak it first. He didn't speak wonders. He didn't speak wonders. He spoke so great salvation. He spoke the word. He only confirmed. He only confirmed it by the gifts of the Holy Ghost, by miracles, to even make the matter so clear. He said, according to his own will. It is not according to your will. So the focus is the word. The focus is so great salvation. The focus is that the church might come up to God, might be built up as they hear the word of his grace, so that they can receive the inheritance of the saints. Acts 20, 32. Hallelujah. So God is recruiting an army. And they want to prosecute a battle. They want to prosecute what? A battle. God is recruiting an army to prosecute the battle. What battle? Number one, for the recovery of the soul of men, for the salvation of men, for the deliverance of men. And this is the essence of life campaign. So it's a battle cry. It's a battle cry. God will give you much more than you can ever imagine, even in the natural. Somebody said to God, the God servant, he said, God, you said we seek first the kingdom and righteousness and every other thing shall be added. He said, God, thus far, don't even add other things. I just want the kingdom. God said, no, I can't change my word. I will give you the kingdom. I will give you other things. That is the principle. He said, God, I'm okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm okay. I'm okay. He said, God said, no, I can't change the word. I will give you the kingdom. I will give you. So don't be afraid that you will not get other things. But the moment you change the equation, the moment you get an answer and the process is faulty, that was a problem already. The moment you change the thing, what is meant to be added, you now begin to seek. What you are meant to seek, you are now praying for it as an addition. That is a terrible prayer. That is a wicked prayer. What is the capital? If you say the kingdom of God is a profit, then what is the capital? Your car, your house. No, that's not the capital. The kingdom of God is the capital. It's the capital. Everything, they can be profit. And that's not even the profit of the kingdom. That's not even the... God needs to open our eyes. Hallelujah. And finally, Luke 1:68. Let's see the battle strategy. Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed those people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That David has a key. It is not many keys. Remember, not many keys, one key. Isaiah 22:22, the same thing, one key. I will lay upon his shoulder the key of David. So, in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has since been, since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. Who is the enemy? The flesh is the enemy. Sin is the enemy. Hell is the enemy. Death is the enemy. Grave is the enemy. And they walk together. That it taught many years. Death we kill, grave we keep. And once grave keeps, it will take God to deliver. These are the enemy, not that woman next door. That woman next door, actually, if you look at her very well, she's a friendly person. Only that you have not approached her by the meekness of Christ. The moment you begin to approach her by the meekness, you will see a lovely person you have never seen. So that's not the enemy. And from the hand of all them that hate us, to perform his mercy. So mercy has to be performed to us. He who has begun a good work is able to perform it. There is going to be a performance of mercy. And what is mercy? Mercy is the crowning us with eternal life. That is the mercy of God. The oath promised, which is swear to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. This is the battle cry.
This is the battle strategy. God is interested in you, but he wants you to understand his manifesto. He wants to understand the war he's prosecuting. He's fighting an enemy. It's called Satan. And Satan has sworn to God. There is a battle that is ongoing. Satan told God that I will make sure Shade, Shola, BC, Kemi, Belo, and all of them, I will make sure they don't attend to the statue of Christ. And Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. If I can do it in one, I can do it in all. Because the principle of one is the principle of all. I have taken one. I will take all. Ombo is coming. He has taken one, he will take all. He will take me, he will take you. He who raises son will raise me too. I will not be an exception. I will not be an exception. I will say to the devil, my case is different. Why? Because I belong to another who is different. I belong to one that the darkness cannot understand, cannot demystify. Can we bless God this evening? Can we lift our hands and praise our Father, who has come to read out again to us, aloud, clearly, without any ambiguity, his manifesto. The plan and purpose that he has for his people, which is called the eternal purpose of God, which he has come to show unto us through his ministers, whom he has raised, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists, to show unto us, to bring us to another estate, to cause us to have another perspective different from the one we have had. To demystify all the lies of the enemy. The enemy has sold us a lie, but God is here to puncture all those lies, to say, I have a promise for you, and that promise is eternal life. And I want to enlist you in my army, that together we will ride in righteousness with our white robe. We will ride in righteousness and take the kingdom and put down this man, even under your feet. When he's under your feet, he's under my feet. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we exalt you. Blessed be your name. We return all the glory and adoration to you. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadee by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.